Well, Mike gave a very good introduction for what I'm going to cover. Because you see, ever since Cain, and then personified in Nimrod, and what I'm going to talk about will entitle this, Controlling the Human Mind, number 4, The Mark of the Beast. Now, coincidentally, I also had a printout, which I receive every once in a while from Seventh-day Adventists, where they say, Mark of the Beast is Sunday keeping. And as a matter of fact, that's what Radio Church of God was in their booklet. And they got that from Church of God Seventh-day and the Seventh-day Adventist. Well, it seemed plausible at the time that that could be it. And you go back and you read the commentaries and everything, and you find that they have a very hard time understanding what it is. And one of the difficulties with Church of God Seventh-day and Seventh-day Adventist is this. They take the two beasts of Revelation 13 and make all of it the Catholic Church. See? Which it's not. And they never really thought everything through. But let's just give them the benefit of doubt and say, all right, the Pope becomes so important that he causes the whole earth. Now, you need to consider all the different religions and the problems involved with it. Okay. He causes everyone in the whole world to observe Sunday. And on Sunday, they cannot buy and sell because everything is closed down. And sure enough, I got an article that someone sent me. It's on the Internet, how the Germans are trying to enforce Sunday closing now and less Sunday shopping. And the Pope is all happy and clapping his hands and saying, that's wonderful. But just suppose that could be for the whole world. What would happen Monday morning at 8 o'clock? The stores would open, correct? Could people buy on Monday? Yes. And on Tuesday? Yes. And on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? And Saturday? Yes. So it can't be the observance of a day, even though the Catholics say that Sunday is, as we have in Rome's Challenge in one of the appendices in the Bible, that it is a Catholic institution. But what does it really mean? Now, let's look at a couple prophecies here, and let's understand something. When God fulfills a prophecy, it is fulfilled in its fullness. And I think it was very interesting here what Mike mentioned concerning the destruction of the temple. Now, let's come to Matthew 24. We'll look just at one scripture here. Matthew 24, and I think it's interesting that Mike pointed out that the rabbis thought that if they would all get to Jerusalem, God would have to protect it and not destroy it. In other words, by their will and by their works, God would be compelled to do what they wanted. And as a matter of fact, we do have a quote from some of the Jewish sources for the book that Phil Neal is writing, where they even brag and say, even God is bound by the decision of the Rebbes. And the Rebbes are the top rabbis. Okay? Well, that's not true. Now, was Jerusalem destroyed?
Just as an insight to what you're saying.
Okay. Mike made the comment that there is in the Talmud a certain section where the rabbis made a law, or God made a law, rather, and the rabbis looked at it and changed it, and then God says, well, my children have overruled me. Well, where do you ever find that in the Bible? What does it say in Isaiah? Every knee shall bow to me. See? Now, what does it say in Philippians, the second chapter? Every knee shall bow to me.
But it's true. You're right.
See, what that shows is that the rabbis can give their own interpretation to scriptures and overrule God. See? But no man can do that. All right. Let's focus on one verse here. When the disciples wanted to know what was going to happen. Verse 1, Matthew 24. And after going out, that is, Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. And at that time, it was a vast wall from the floor of the Kidron Valley up about 600 feet to the top of the temple, and all carved and placed stones. And it was white. So they were looking down from the Mount of Olives and looking at it and saying, look at this, this is wonderful. But Jesus said to them, verse 2, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Yes. All right. Let's come to verse 35. Now notice what Jesus said concerning everything that he just explained to them. But we want to take this one verse, verse 2. Verse 35, the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now think about that for a minute. What happened to the temple when it was destroyed? Well, you can read in Josephus exactly what happened. In order to get the gold that melted because of the fire, and they didn't intend to have the fire, but nevertheless the fire burnt the temple and melted the gold, and it all went down into the rocks. What did they do to get the gold? They pried away all the rocks. Everything, every stone where the temple was torn down. So where you look where the Western Wailing Wall is, what do you find? You find stones that were not torn down. That tells us that had nothing to do with the temple area, but that was part of Fort Antonio and was Roman territory. See? So the Jews have even forgotten that, saying, here's the remnant of the temple, and the temple is up there where the Mosque of Omar is, and that's not where the temple was. The temple was south of that and directly over the Gihon Springs. All right. Did that happen? Yes, it did. Now let's look at a couple of other things here so we can find out what's going to happen. Let's come here to Revelation 13. This afternoon we'll get into it a little bit more detail. Let's come to Revelation 13 and let's see what it says concerning the mark of the beast. And as I have brought out for a long time, it's not just buying and selling. It is total control of the minds of people. All right, let's read it here. Verse 16, and he causes all. Now, this is the beast for whom the image was made. That's the he in this verse. He causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond. Now, when we come to the book of Revelation, we're dealing with worldwide events. So when it says all, it means all. And what is happening today with globalization, the world is getting, as they say, smaller and smaller and smaller. It's not getting smaller and smaller. It is that we are becoming more and more monolithic in the structure of things and in economics and so forth. To receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads so that no one may have the ability to buy or sell unless he has the mark or the number of the beast or the name of the beast, rather, or the number of the beast. So there are three parts to it. And the or in the Greek has the force of and, rather than equivalent of or. Now, how close are we to that? Let me ask you a question here. How many have debit cards or credit cards? Okay. You use them, don't you? What's one big problem with credit cards and debit cards and things like that people run into all the time? It's called what? Identity theft. Okay. They're going to solve that. They can even have DNA theft and plant your DNA in a crime scene, and you'll be convicted because your DNA is there. But they can take one piece of your hair or one swab of your saliva, they can take it to a laboratory, and they can multiply the DNA, which is yours, and spread it around a crime scene, and you're convicted because the DNA cannot lie. Is that true? Yes. How are you going to solve that problem? Okay. We'll see how they're going to do it. Now, all prophecies will be fulfilled to the fullest, not the minimum. A lot of people, they read the prophecy and say, well, they might not have to build a temple in Jerusalem, just set up a tabernacle. Well, the Jews are not working on tabernacles. You go online and look at the Temple Institute online, they're going full bore for the whole thing, and that's what they're going to have. Okay. Buying and selling becomes the important thing. And what is involved with the credit cards and debit cards? Checking accounts. Numbers, right? Now, what happens if you go to an ATM and you want to get some cash? Well, you put your debit or credit card in there. And if it happens to have one number that is damaged, you're denied. Right? Now think about this. If you have no money and no credit card and no debit card, can you buy and sell in today's world? Well, you might be able to do a little bartering, but how many people know how to barter? Okay? No. But it's not the buying and selling that they are really interested in. Let me read to you something very important here, and this is from the book Controlling the Human Mind, Controlling the Human Mind by Dr. Nick Begich, B-E-G-I-C-H, or Begich. And he's also a senator from Alaska. All right. Let me pick this up. I'm going to read to you from page 28. He gives the whole history of things that started, and all of this started in 1920. Let's come back here to Daniel, the 12th chapter, for just a minute. Daniel 12. And let's see how we can see what it tells us so we can understand Revelation 13 even more. Daniel wanted to know. So he was told this. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, think about those two phrases there. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Never in the wildest dreams of anyone would they ever imagine that we would have a world filled with cars, trains, planes, you know, buses, rockets, subways, you know, at any one time, how many people are in planes going over 500 miles an hour? And I often think of this. What would happen if you'd resurrect the Apostle John right in the middle of a freeway? Oh, hello! What is this? Hey. Knowledge increases. How fast is knowledge increasing today with the computers that we have? because they're getting closer and closer and closer to human intelligence in computers. And another sermon I'm going to bring will bring out concerning nanotechnology and what they're going to do with that. What is the length of time that it takes now for knowledge to double? 5 months. 5 months. That is an example of fulfilling a prophecy to the maximum rather than the minimum. And it's still going. That's what's so important. They are still increasing the knowledge. Now, here's something for us also to understand. Let's come down here to verse 9. After he said, oh, I want to know. Verse 9. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Now, this becomes important from this point of view. Nearly every commentary in the Bible, of the Bible, cannot explain Revelation 13 until the time of the end when the facts match with what was said. We're at that time. And I've read many of the commentaries which say, well, it's this or it's that or it's the other thing. Okay. Notice what he's promised here. Verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now that is a promise. We will understand when it's necessary for us to understand. But what do we have to be doing in order to understand? We have to be watching. We have to be looking for, how is this going to be possible? We now know. I don't know how many ever saw the movie Enemy of the State. You ever see the movie Enemy of the State where they could track him down any place and they canceled out his identity. They canceled out all of his credit cards. If he tried to use his cell phone, bam, they knew instantly where he was and they were coming after him. All right. Now, reading beginning on page 28. Now, this has to do with controlling the human mind. And that's what the mark of the beast is all about, which I'll continue in this afternoon's sermon. The early attempts used chemicals and hallucinogens to achieve some measure of control. Then in the 60s, the interest changed to non-chemical means of affecting behavior. By the early 1970s, within certain military and academic circles, it became clear that human behavior could be modified by the use of subtle energetic or energy manipulation. How much energy does it take to run your cell phone? Virtually every one of you here have cell phones, right? And I hope you have them all turned off. Thank you. Very little. And it comes in on a microwave frequency. And this room is filled with how many frequencies? Every radio station in the Los Angeles area, every television station in the Los Angeles area, every cell phone tower in the Los Angeles area. We have lights. We have all of these things. All of these things are forms of energy. All right? By 2006, the stage of technology had been perfected to the point where, now listen carefully, emotions, thoughts, memory, and thinking could be manipulated by external means. Now this is more than just Satan is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 1. This is that they can do it on a mass scale. With very low level frequencies and power. Stop for a moment and consider the impact of what this means. The idea that human thinking can be disrupted or manipulated in a way that can't be resisted. The ability to impact thinking in this way comes through, according to leading Russian scientist Dr. Igor Smirnov. I wonder if he wrote this when he had some of his famous vodka. Okay. Which he says, it comes through as if it were a command from God. It cannot be resisted. Remember the movie Universal Soldier? Remember the movies Implants and You Have Assassins? Okay. Think about this for a moment. What else could be a greater violation of one's individual personhood? What is surprising is the volume of evidence now available to us that documents that these technologies are here now. And we'll get into some of those, and we will see what some of them are. Okay, let me come to page 71. This book is incredible. Page 71. This already has a U.S. patent. And the creators say that this invention relates to an electrical apparatus that is capable of generating a magnetic field that is so precisely tuned in order to interact with the brain and heart, in order to pace the heart and also interact with the nervous system in order to counteract pain. They always use it for good first. Right? How many remember the, or how many have been on the list since 2002? Okay. 2002, I gave a sermon. The mark of the beast is here with the digital angel. Remember, I don't know if any of you remember that or heard that sermon. Okay, I'll put it on the CD with this one too, so you'll have it. And people said, "Oh, it's here already." And I said, wait. It has to be developed. And now, they're getting ready. Okay? An additional patent that was found to be particularly interesting concerns the use of either low-level or very high-frequency audio signals for delivering subliminal information. The invention was intended to provide a technique for producing a subliminal presentation which is audible to the listener, yet is perceived and decoded by the ear for use by the subconscious mind. This system bypasses the conscious mind and drops the information into the conscious subconscious by a manner that avoids any conscious filtering of the information. Think of that. That's why, brethren, we need the Spirit of God. Without conscious review may in fact set up conflicts in the listener's belief systems. In other words, the messages may not line up with the way that the individual person thinks, which can lead to a number of problems. Conflicts in beliefs can lead to significant emotional, psychological problems, which is why when subliminals are used, a person should know exactly what is being sent to assure that the messages line up with the beliefs of the individual. A person should be able to hear and review all the words that are sent, but they can do it without you even knowing it now. Have you ever walked it? How many here have? I've never attended a rock concert. But do you know what a rock concert is intended to do? It is intended to hypnotize you because of the strobe going like this. Why do they have to have the lights? It is intended to give the people not only to hear the music, but to feel it in every cell of their body. So the music is driven through them rather than just hearing them. And it affects the mind. Now, how many have gone into a store where they're playing some kind of really ratty music? And how do you feel? You feel angst, right? I'll have to congratulate McDonald's. Since they have many senior citizens coming in for breakfast, they have nice, soothing music in the morning. Then I went over to Nob Hill to buy something, and they had all of this, you know, beat 'em up music, boom, 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 you know, and it kind of set me on edge. All right. Let me talk to you about a machine or a device that is called HART. How many have ever heard of HART? Okay. It has the ability, page 80, all right, HARP is one of the things that they can use with low-level electrical frequencies, just like with a telephone thing, okay? It's like with the cell phone that you have. The United States plans to carry out large-scale scientific experiments under HARP program and not controlled by the global community, and they are trying to create weapons capable of breaking radio communication lines and equipment installed on spaceships and rockets, provoke serious accidents in electrical networks and in oil and gas pipelines, and have a negative effect on the mental health of people populating entire regions. That's what they're capable of doing now. All right, let me come to page 86. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Persinger has been working on a theory that connects not only UFOs and earthquakes, but also powerful electromagnetic fields and an explanation of paranormal beliefs in terms of unusual brain activity. He has also found that stimulating another area, the temporal lobes, can produce all sorts of mystic experiences, out-of-body sensations, and other apparently paranormal phenomena. In other words, you think that you're seeing reality. These experiments may be the result of activity in the brain and not the actual experiences that are being reported by individuals. He indicates that the brain can be altered. Note this very carefully. The brain can be altered with very little power, including that which is released from natural geomagnetic activity of the earth or via contemporary communication networks. Now, let me ask you a question. Living in a city here, what happens when you get out, when you're away from the traffic, the noise, the lights, the phones, the television, the radio, and say you're up in the mountains and it's nice and quiet? You're relaxed, aren't you? You feel good. Same way when you go down to the beach, especially if you go down and it's quiet and you take off your shoes and you walk in the sand, boy, you really feel invigorated. You feel just really good. Why? Because your body and your mind are being released from all the stress and tension that you have living in a society. And by the way, I would just hand it a report that stress is a leading cause of cancer. Okay? He suggests that within a very narrow set of variables, we can stimulate the sense of smell, taste, touch, sight, or hearing in a manner that will not permit us to see the difference between the laboratory-created experience and reality. So what is this leading to? Control. That's what it's leading to. Now, it's going to take several years to get it all going, but it's all there. A signal could be generated at power levels that were consistent with the Earth's and would be hidden in the noise created by many man-made background radiating sources of energy. All right. Let me come to another page here. Okay. One could develop a system that would seriously impair the brain performance of very large populations in selected regions over an extended period. Makes you wonder. Stop and think. when you see politically the right hand doing something over here, what is happening on the left hand? Take, for example, the health care thing. They don't care two hoots to a whirlwind about your health. They want control. They want the power over you. All right. This capability exists today through the use of systems that can stimulate the ionosphere to return a pulsed signal, which at the right frequency can override normal brain functions. By overriding the natural pulsations of the brain, chemical reactions are triggered which alter the emotional state of the targeted population. This is really some stuff. And the book is just full of it. Now, where does that come in for the mark of the beast? Well, I'll cover some of that a little later this afternoon. All right, let me go to page 139. Let's read here. 139. All right, control of the mind and the body. There are four wavelengths that your mind and your body are subject to. First are beta waves, alpha waves, theta waves, delta waves. External stimulation of the brain by electromagnetic means can cause the brain to be entrained or locked into phase with an external signal generator and can be driven. People can be driven or pushed into new frequency patterns by external stimulation. And this causes changes in the brain waves, which then also changes the brain chemistry, which then can cause changes in brain outputs in the form of thoughts, emotions, physical conditions. As you are driven, so you arrive. Brain manipulation can either be beneficial or detrimental to the individual being impacted. Quite a thing. What can it produce? Amazing. It can produce these neurochemicals, which when released cause specific reactions in the brain, which result in feelings of fear, lust, depression, love, etc. All of these and the full range of emotional and intellectual responses are caused by very specific combinations of these brain chemicals, which are released by frequency-specific electronic impulses. Because that's the key to running the body. And the key to the mark of the beast is to get a chip that will be compatible with the body. They haven't quite arrived there yet, but they'll be getting there. Precise mixtures of these brain juices can produce extraordinary specific mental states such as fear of dark or intense concentration. The work in this area is advancing at a very rapid rate, with new discoveries being made regularly. Unlocking the knowledge of these specific frequency codes is yielding significant breakthroughs in understanding human health. The control of the mind and body using various forms of electromagnetic energy, including radio signals, light pulsations, sound, and other methods, has resulted in several inventions and innovations. Have you ever been watching a television program and you just all of a sudden feel downright miserable? Well, the best thing to do is turn it off. Give yourself 15 minutes and you'll feel better, right? See, because what do you have on television? You have sound. You have visual, emotional, all those things coming through. What also is coming through? Electronics. Why did they go to digital from analog? Well, I'll tell you. They went from analog to digital so they can use all the analog band waves to make what I'm reading here happen. So they can control people. See, when you have a lawless society that can't be controlled, you have to have a means of controlling. And that's what they do with this. Here was another patent in 1980, which is a method and apparatus for producing a noise-like signal for inducing a hypnotic or anesthetic effect in human beings. The invention also has uses in crowd control and consciousness level training, which they call biofeedback. The invention may also be used in creating special musical effects. This device would have a profound effect in controlling individuals to a point where a point otherwise only achievable through the application of hypnotherapy or drugs. This type of controlled effect can be induced from a distance outside the human body without implants or physical contact of any kind. Isn't that amazing? This afternoon, we will see what they can do with implants. RFIDs, have you heard of RFIDs? Radio frequency identification? Yes. Device? These inventions generate a whole array of breakthroughs for controlling a person's emotional state, concentration, and pain levels, and creating other effects as well. In 1990, the result of a study strongly indicated these specific types of subjective experiences can be enhanced when extremely low-frequency magnetic fields of less than 1 milligauss are generated through the brain at the level of the temporal lobes. VEST, vestibular. The vestibular feelings, that is, vibrations and floatings, depersonalization, feeling detached, sense of presence, and imaginations, vivid images from childhood, are more frequent within the field exposed groups than the sham field exposed group. All right. A lot of heavy reading in here. Weaponization of the mind. What are they going to do? All right. How many have seen the movie Universal Soldier? Okay. They actually program them this way. All right. Let me come to page 198, and I'll finish up with this. But it shows some of the devices that they have. Page 198, under brain drivers. Research internationally found, and they're researching this. Every major country is researching it because the first one that has it so it's really workable can do what? Control the world. Right? Yes. Research internationally found that the brain can be easily entrained or be influenced to change states, that is, mental states, by external electromagnetic fields. These discoveries have provided new tools for both scientists and others, and the new tools include electrocranial stimulation devices, sound system, light pulse system, and a very large variety of other brain entertainment and feedback devices. So while you're, you know, you could get something you think is entertaining, and what is it doing? It's reprogramming your mind for something else, and you don't even know it. Now, what was the theme of controlling the human mind? Proverbs 4:24, guard the door of your mind. Now, we're at a time that we have to ask God to really protect us. Okay? They don't yet have these things out on a mass scale, but they will be available. Technological advances also have been applied to special monitoring and control devices which allow people to learn how to control and manipulate their own brain activity for beneficial results. Reports include relaxation, pain control, speed reading, and memory improvement. See, it always starts out with something good. How is sin introduced to children? Let me ask you. How is sin introduced to children? Cartoons. You might take some morning and look at the cartoons that they have for all the kids and see what's going into their minds. See what they're looking at. See? And it's always a joke. Isn't it? Who introduced transvestitism in the cartoons? Walt Disney with Bugs Bunny. Dressing up as a female bunny, right? Sin is always introduced to children through cartoons and to adults through humor. You go to some entertainment show, and what is there to break down the moral barriers? I mean, all you have to do is just watch the Comedy Channel. What is it? Jokes about sex, right? So you see, you don't have to have a device out there doing this. As long as you let it enter into your minds through whatever media is available, and now there are a lot of media things available. All right, let me finish here, coming to page 220. When we think about the body's energy and the way we relate to energy, this is a very important concept and goes back to very ancient cultures based on the archaeological evidence. Earlier I mentioned that around us exists 200 million times more radio frequency energy than the Earth naturally produces because of what mankind has added. No wonder we're under stress. When we include all the energy that man has added into the environment, it's a tremendous difference. The idea of being immersed in a sea of energy and not really sensing it is where most of us are today in terms of sensing energy. Here's a way to see the difference. When the power grid shuts down, most people immediately notice how quiet it is because the refrigerators stop humming, the fan motors aren't buzzing, and your computers are not running. If you think of the general state of your body, when the energy fails, it's almost like you're exhausted, as if your whole body relaxes. So if you're real hypertension, turn everything off. Think about it the next time the power goes out. Or if you want to experiment at home, go to your circuit breaker, stop the power coming into your house. Remember to disconnect sensitive electronic devices when doing this. Notice the difference as your body relaxes, because your body constantly has to create equilibrium. At a certain level of stress is created within our bodies to compensate for those external fields that dominate so much of our lives today. All right. Now, all of this is to pave the way for what I'm going to bring this afternoon. And it's going to blow your minds. Let me just tell you where I'm going. All right. And you can go on a line and get these. First one is an introduction to new technologies, the RFID. What's happening? I've got a copy for everyone here today, but I won't mail it out for everyone when we mail it out. The second one is an introduction to genetic engineering. The third one is an introduction to synthetic biology. Now, a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles, I gave two sermons from Ray Kurzweil's book, The Singularity is Near. And that was very hard to follow. I realized that. And I got some flack for it. Why didn't you bring something about the feast? Well, I brought that because of what is coming. And now, it's going to be happening. Think about it this way. If we had health care like Obama wants, and they start using these things as treatment and start controlling the human mind, and you have to take the treatment that they give, and no doctor can operate outside of the system. What's going to happen when all of this system comes together and they begin chipping people? Because they already are. See? They already are. And this one here about the RFID is absolutely mind-blowing. Just to give you a preview, they have chipped violent prisoners in prison. They don't know they've been chipped because they can put it in. It's so small. And they set it at the frequency of 120. What happens to the mental state of those prisoners? They become totally nonviolent and sleep 22 hours a day. Completely involuntary. See, that's why God says if someone has done something worthy of death, you execute them. Because when you reach the proportion of prisoner population that we have today, and you have the proportion of very violent people, and even the state cannot control them. I mean, you watch some of this on MSNBC that they run on Sundays about all of the prison things that go through, and watch the real violent ones. That's what they're going to do. They're going to chip them, change their behavior, control them. Now that is the opposite of what God wants. God made us free moral agents. And he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He expects us to choose life and to love God. But God himself does not intervene and take away free choice. But that's what the mark of the beast will do. So it's going to be something. Now, it's down the road quite a little ways. But remember, down the road always comes near. And I know I didn't remember when I gave that sermon on the mark of the beast is here when the first report came out with Digital Angel. So I called Ron Carey and I said, could you find the date for me? So he found it. April 20th, 2002. So here we are, what? Almost 8 years later? We're a lot closer. What will the next 8 years bring? What will man do? All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll pick it up there next time.